say.
All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culker meeting for the administrative portion of our regular scheduled commission meeting. It's a little after 11 o'clock. We have, let me see if my colleagues have any comments before I get rolling.
No comments, Stoker.
Commissioner Shorten?
No.
Okay, we have several items on consent. I'd move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, let's get right to discussion. Alana, CP Rail complaint regarding block crossing ordinance update.
Well, since we last talked about this, I did forward the information to the Attorney General's office, the information that I had received from Enderlin. I also spoke with the city attorney at Enderlin again, and I forwarded it to the attorney in D.C. that we have retained on other issues for an estimate. The Attorney General's office got back to me that they don't have any resources to take on anything like this. The Attorney General is available for discussion about the issue with any of you or with me, and they are available for consultation. That's kind of what I expected, you know, that to help review things or talk about issues, but they cannot assist. The city of Enderlin, I believe, this could change, but the attorney talked about perhaps bringing to the city commission meeting the question of whether they wanted to ask the commission for specific assistance, in which case I said, well, send a letter to that effect if your city commission wants to do that, and he would send a letter to that effect that we would then bring to a meeting to respond to. That hasn't happened yet, and I don't know when the next meeting is, but that's, I think, something he's considering. And the attorney in Washington did provide kind of a guesstimate of cost for perhaps an amicus brief if there was a summary judgment motion or something. But he's thinking it'd be like in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 hours.
Ooh. The questions I had on is, I know that attorney we have is potentially a rail case. That's a whole different animal than a crossing case. I mean, is there someone else that could do some of the discussion in the state? I mean, we don't need to have the expert surface transportation board railroad guru doing the crossing.
Well, it's
a lot of money.
You need someone with expertise in federal rail. You need federal litigation expertise and then some clue about federal-state relationship and what is and is not preempted. He was very familiar with that concept. He was. But there are probably others, but if you hired simply a Mitch, I'm not going to use Mitch as an example here, there would be the learning curve on the federal rail preemption issues that you'd be paying for anyway.
I guess something, so, I mean, I'm just trying to my thoughts only mm-hmm. Just have somebody, yourself perhaps, just do now that you've seen what Enderlin's filed, you've seen all of it, just look through it and think, okay, is our law in jeopardy? I mean, that's the part of, before we get down that road, just somebody do a quick legal analysis of what the question is. Okay, does this affect Century Code?
I have done that. I haven't written it all down yet, but I have looked through it, and there are lots of different issues, some of which point to the state authority. There's a lot of other issues they've also brought up that are city issues.
How does the Attorney General say they can't do that when it's, and it may be a question for me to go ask him, but when it's a state law that's in jeopardy? It's not a PSC law. We administer it, but it's a state law.
That's true. And perhaps if the state was sued directly, then the Attorney General or someone the Attorney General hires, which could be the Washington lawyer or Mitch or another attorney, would be defending the constitutionality. I did mention to both the Attorney General's office and to the city attorney, I asked if they had contacted the League of Cities and the Association of Counties, and I didn't have a face-to-face discussion with the AG's office, and I hope to do that when there's a little time. But it seems to me they're like first responders. There's other state people with interests in preserving the safety rights that we may have or authority we may have, like Highway Patrol, first responders. The problem is that the AG's office, they probably have thought of all that already when they talked about it, but they don't have resources. Okay, I did mention to Enderlin those avenues might be someplace where they could garner a coalition.
Could we sit down with Peter for an hour and get more information from him on, you know, what kind of what Brian's talking about, just kind of the overview of here's what the issues are, here's where we should get involved, or here's what happens if you don't, you know, that type of things. He's good at laying those options out.
We certainly could, or we could ask him for that in a written memo. I think that's certainly an option. He was very familiar with the type of cases nationwide and the different approaches that the railroads take, the different types of things they challenge.
Right.
And I think he was, you know, had some general final inclinations that are really more of attorney client. But we certainly could have that conversation.
I think that would be a good next step, since the attorney general can't do that. And it doesn't sound like maybe you have that depth of knowledge to provide that insight. Maybe you do, Alana, but
I don't.
Okay.
I'll say right up front, I don't. Again, there's a learning curve, and I've done enough to know what types of issues are in the filing, and a lot of them are unrelated to our state jurisdiction. Some are pointed at the state jurisdiction, and I certainly could invest time to do that, but I would not ever be an expert at it.
Well, it seems to me, you know, it's not like the federal government took over rail authority 6 months or a year ago. That Staggs Act is over 30 years old, and the ICCTA is, what, 20 years old. And I think many states had, you know, rail jurisdiction before that. And so this can't be, it's just hard for me to imagine that this is the first time this has come up, and that this exact same thing hasn't already worked its way through the Supreme Court already. And we know the answer if we know where to look.
The issues have come up, but I would be hesitant to say it's the devil's in the details. They're never the exact same thing. There is time to be invested in reading every one of the cases and discerning all the factual differences or similarities between Enderlin and here. And that really is what the Enderlin city attorney has to do, or whoever they hire. I mean, this is against their ordinance. A couple of them affect the state, not all of them by any means, because they have raised a lot of issues about the degree of the penalty. And
I think that our, you know, pretty modest investment of time with Peter was very helpful going into the Surface Transportation Board, and ended up resulting in very specific things being included in their order, which is good. So to me, he's got the expertise from decades of work in the railroad industry and law. So an hour with him to help us focus our next step would be a good investment, in my opinion.
Now, for him to provide advice, he would need the appointment would need to be expanded to cover a different issue, because it was rail service issues. We tried to make it broad. I think it was rail service issues. Maybe if it's rail issues, it's covered. But there is the preliminary conversation of, which we also had with him before he was retained, of what could you provide for us?
And he already did that, didn't he? With the $80 or $80
Well, he
hours.
Did it to me very quickly over the phone. Yes.
Oh.
I mean, he could do that for you also, so we can fashion it one way or the other.
Julie's right on the mark. I think we could get him to talk to us for an hour with the same way we would get Paul come in and give us an armchair sketch up, and then when you get into detail. But I don't want to be investing $50,000 in this thing. That's not right. This is they're the ones in the middle of this. If we can weigh in with them, but it's their job to defend this, and we have to see how it might affect us. But I don't want to get roped into a big bill here.
No, I agree completely. I'm just giving you the update.
No, I understand.
I appreciate you coming back with it. And I think that, you know, before we say we shouldn't get involved at all, we should get a little bit more information.
We would get on the phone like we did in the other case.
Sure. Yep. If phone, or if he wants to do sort of a written whatever is cheapest. Most affordable.
I got the instructions. Okay.
No, great work, Alana.
Thank you.
Do you want to add this to every commission meeting?
That's fine. Yeah, something
that's okay
may come
with you,
in.
Julie?
Yeah, for the next one, sure.
Just because until we keep this staying fluid.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, I wanted to talk about quarterly budget update, but then after I brought Josh, I thought, let's just put it on scheduling. And then, Julie, you had a budget update. Is there something that you wanted other than to schedule one? Because I don't know that we can go through an update.
I need something. We need to talk about something very specifically, and it needs to be soon. So, are we done with Devil's Lake and the others?
No, I just...
Let's do Mitch's first.
They were both together, though. The quarterly budget update and your budget update were both in the discussion matters. I was trying to put them together.
Oh, I see.
Mine is not
a quarterly budget update. Mine is a specific issue that the governor's office has with our budget, a question, and I want to talk with you guys about it.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll keep rolling down. Julie Prescott, you had the petition for reconsideration, and Mitch is here too, I see. Your nickel, sir.
Thank you. Commissioners, basically what we have in this Highland pipeline, they filed a petition for reconsideration requesting that a certain portion of the Highline be authorized to act as a transmission line. Just a little bit of update that there's several options the commission can do with a petition for reconsideration, but technically a petition for reconsideration should be decided on within 30 days. So I suggest the best route going forward is to schedule a work session and discuss these issues. I would also be prepared to discuss them today if the commission wants.
When did the clock start?
The technical 30-day deadline is November 28th.
Okay. And we need a decision by then?
You're supposed to. I think we can work around that if we want. But
a decision to reconsider or the decision what we're going to do on reconsider?
There's options. You can approve. You can deny. You can ignore it, which at the expiration of 30 days means deny, or the commission does have the opportunity to have a rehearing on the issues in the petition for reconsideration, too, if it wants.
So if we decide December 27th to reconsider it and then get a hearing date in January, is that legal?
You can do that.
Okay.
If that's what the commission wants.
What's the notice requirement for the hearing to reconsider?
I think a hearing on reconsideration is a little shorter than usual. I'd have to double check on what the exact amount of time is for that timeline.
Well, just speaking for myself, if there's new information, I'm not against reconsidering it. If it's just they want us to reconsider what we've already looked at, I have no desire to reconsider it.
It's
a different request.
Talking in detail, it's different than that. I think showing you the map and explaining the order might be the way to go.
It looked to me like just a slicing and dicing of the same stuff a different way.
Well, what it is, commissioners, you'll see on the map, the only, I don't know if you want to call it caveat or special condition of our order was certain things related to these five residences within 500 feet. What they've requested, you'll see where the Bethel injection station is to approve from that station down and then from the door terminal all the way over to the Market Center gathering station as not being subject to that condition of getting the 500-foot waiver because those residences aren't anywhere in that area. So the special condition of the order dealt with the residences, and from the Bethel injection station through the bottom of the proposed pipeline, they want that approved as a transmission facility without that condition because, as you may recall, this was built in several stages and there's different ways to segregate the pipeline. So that's really what the ultimate request is. And we could schedule a work session on it. At the work session, we could prepare before that a draft order of what it looked like if we approved it, draft order of what it looked like when we denied it, and then, I guess, discuss whether the commission wants to schedule an additional hearing on it if it believes necessary.
Go ahead.
What I was not able to figure out from their request for reconsideration is the part where the five, where they're basically, if they got their way on the reconsideration, would be left as a gathering line where the five residences are.
Oh, not necessarily. It would still be approved like our previous order already has it approved, subject to that condition, so they could still get those waivers, and once they get those operated as a transmission line, so it'd still be subject to the same conditions as the original order.
So they're just wanting to divide it out and go ahead with the part where the five residences don't exist.
Right. They want to go ahead. Correct. They haven't said that they don't want to go ahead with the remainder of it. They've just said take a look at this. We can operate this as transmission without that affecting those residences, and then we can work on that issue separate from that part of
it. Okay. That's what I was unclear about, whether they were giving up on that part or just wanted to separate it so they could start one and keep working on the other.
I think we should schedule a work session, like you said. Let's try to get it like the end of the week if possible after NARUC, if you're around, and then get the ball rolling, because I think their request has some merit. We want to maximize the infrastructure that's in the ground, and if they meet the conditions to operate it as a transmission line, I think we should try to, allow them to do that. So, but I don't know how we go about getting information from them on how they segregate the line to so we can be assured that they aren't going to be operating that other portion running by the homes as a transmission line. So I don't know how we get that information.
I would tell you what my position on that would be is the cleanest way to do it is if the commission wants certainty on the segregation, we can provide this research. We put our own conditions on that of how we do it rather than getting additional information that's not yet in the record. Or if the commission feels that it wants additional information in the record, separate from any conditions the commission or staff might want included in the order, would be probably then to schedule a hearing to develop that record on that rather than any other procedure.
Well, maybe you and staff can talk about what kind of conditions we might include, and we can discuss those at the work session. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, I might even I agree with that. I might even take it a step farther. If you can put an order together that does what Julie said and Randy's point too, that you can talk about the certainty of segregation, that what we've done before doesn't get affected and it just changes the parameters on the part that they want to build now, I'm okay with an order that says that, and you can even put it on November 20th if you can tell us that it's certain it doesn't affect what we did in the other end.
Yeah, the thing would be, and it really wouldn't be that much different than what's in the original order. They're not authorized right now to operate any transmission facility unless they satisfy the conditions of the order. And that would be the same in an order approving their petition for reconsideration, but it would I don't know if cut it in half is the right word, but it would treat kind of two sections of this line differently, and which would be subject then to the commission's enforcement, because I think the way this is with the gathering line will provide oil to the transmission line. So I don't know if segregate's the right word, but just to, as I understand it, the commission wants to ensure that this section where the residences are at is not operated as a transmission line without meeting those conditions.
Well, if you're open to having it on the agenda on the 20th, which is right after you get back from work, maybe what we could do is have a work session since Randy and I would be here, and we could set one up, and maybe you could call in if you want.
No, I can call in at NARUC. It's pretty easy to. Okay. I'm only on one panel, and that's on Wednesday. The rest is just me as a participant.
Okay, so maybe we'll look at the early part of that week of the 17th for a work session.
With a draft order to go through. That'd be sweet. Okay. Is that okay with you, Randy?
It sounds perfect.
Okay.
You guys want to move this down to scheduling then?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right. Anything else on that for now?
No.
Okay, the Devil's Lake Refinery, I kind of already teed it up, but I got a phone call from the head of their Devil's Lake Ford, and I think Stacy got an email to that effect, too, about asking a lot of questions about what our role might be in a refinery. I saw that. That was a very good answer, by the way. So I don't know about Randy and Julie. I had two thoughts. One is I want to go up there as a commissioner, because we may have associated pipeline with it that almost be an ex parte discussion. But sending staff up there, if somebody was available, I wasn't against it, but I wasn't sure either way, I guess.
Can someone tell when we do have jurisdiction, if ever, on the siting of a refinery? What is this threshold?
Threshold is 50,000 barrels per day.
Okay.
But what I thought it was, this refinery to me stuck out very similar like the MDU refinery, where we might be involved down the road with a mile or two of pipeline that's associated with it. So that's what I saw as a potential jurisdiction.
I don't know that it's... I mean, it seems pretty straightforward to me. We have jurisdiction at such and such a level, and I don't know that we need to send staff there to provide that message.
They asked us. Is the one thing I'd want to give them an answer back.
Yeah, and I think maybe even that's the answer. We don't have... Here's when our jurisdiction kicks in, and that would be a citing jurisdiction. And then if they say, oh, okay, we realize, we're a long ways from that, we're not interested. And they think, well, we'd still like to have people there to answer questions. But it would take a whole day for a staff member to head up there, and it would probably have to be Julie or Pat or somebody of that level, and they've got a lot on their plates.
So it seems that the obvious question that they're going to get asked is, so if 50,000, we would have involvement, but 20,000, we don't. So, you know, similar to what we see going on with some of these gathering lines that get put in and then become transmission lines, I guess if I was up there, I would probably ask the question, okay, does that mean they're going to build a 20 and then another 20 and then a third 20 and go over 50, but you never cite them because they're always 20 at a time? Or once it hits 50, does any more additional capacity require approval? I don't know the answer to that, so it's a question.
It might be a question that we can ask without going there. If we knew who to, I mean, Stacy, do you have a contact for the question that you received?
Well, what's the answer to that, Pat? It is jurisdictional once it gets collectively over 50, right?
It is.
Yeah.
And we've always taken the position, I believe, that if you know you're going to expand it today, then you should be coming to the commission. If you know you're going to exceed that threshold, mm-hmm. And it's in your plans, in your 10-year plan, then you should probably come to the commission.
Well, does it sound okay to my colleagues that would all give Pat the email that I have, and maybe, Pat, you could just send him an email kind of laying out some general things and open up, if he has questions, to contact you directly so we don't send someone up there, but we give him the direct staff guru, and they've already made some contact with Stacy. They just don't, when the community calls, to make sure they got somebody they can ask questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, and I think it would be good to point out initially that if there are pipelines that get built in and out of there, that, you know, depending on the pipeline, we may or may not have authority over that.
Okay, I'll just close the loop with that. And Pat, Julie, budget update. You had a question?
Somebody had a question. The governor's office is looking at our budget, and they're looking at our FTE requests. And the question...
How did they contact you, I guess, is my question.
In person or phone, I can't remember. I talked to him. I think I had lunch with the governor and Drew one day, and they threw it out there the first time. They were just looking at... Just ran into him in the lunchroom. So they're looking at our... total FTE requests and wondering they just have some questions about the pipelines program and the number of staff. Do we feel confident that we need that many staff people to do the pipelines? And really the question was, could you do the increase with two rail and two pipelines? And my question to that, my comment back was, we can't add a crude oil program with one person. So if you don't want to give us the people, don't give us the program, just skip it. We need the people to do it right. But so I just wanted to throw that out to you guys to see if they're looking to maybe save a little bit. I think they still want to do both the rail and the pipeline programs, but they just kind of double checking to make sure that what we've asked for is what we need, basically.
The reason I asked Julie is how you got it was when Josh and I went down and met with OMB, it was adamantly to them, if they don't give us all we're asking for, don't bother giving us any.
Yeah.
So I don't think we could have made it any clearer to OMB that don't give us, we need 3.5. We need the if you don't give us all of them, don't give us none of them, because right. We can't do it with less.
Well, but what happens in this process is OMB talks to you, and then OMB goes around the governor's conference room, and they sit there, and the governor says, well, man, that's kind of a lot. Go back and ask. So they have to do what the governor says. Go back and ask.
We should also make sure that they're running back through OMB, though, because we don't want to back and forth.
Sheila called, too. Sheila and I talked, exchanged messages yesterday. So that's just how that process works. OMB at this stage is sitting down in the governor's conference room on a daily basis talking through all this stuff and looking for ways to save.
At all.
Okay, well, so I went and looked at how we justified what we asked for, and I don't have a lot of data for how we came up with the 3.5 and the additional folks for gas in terms of specifics. This is the formula that PHMSA uses, and so I just want to make sure that we have that in order before we go up to the legislature and say, this is exactly what we need, and here's why.
It might not even be enough. It might be five.
I agree with you, but how do we come to 3.5 and 1 and 2.5? I just need to be reminded of that.
I don't know that it's possible to start something new and know exactly what you're going to need. And my response is that I think we want to use weights and measures as an example. We trimmed back and trimmed back and trimmed back until we got to the point where what we found out now with the large scales, we don't have enough, and we really feel like we're not doing our jobs well, and we need to add that FTE back in again. But one thing about the weights and measures, someone might lose some money if there's some scale operators out there that are operating out there inaccurately, but you know it's probably not going to be extraordinary. But when we, if we take over, for instance, hazardous liquid safety, and PHMSA eliminates their program here, and we take it over, if we have, like we did with weights and measures, if we underestimate what we need, we put lives in jeopardy. And so I thought that, you know, yeah, there's no precise way to figure this out, and it might be that we're already under, but I sure thought that we came in with a minimal proposal to start on, mm-hmm. on a program like this if the legislature deems that we want to run our own program. And I guess I would be very uncomfortable starting one of these programs with any less than what we asked for.
Okay. Did you go through any calculations, Brian, on these in terms of what PHMSA, the formula is and what they require?
It's the same thing I walked through with OMB. It's that we had the half time of managerially take the other three positions by the time you get everybody through the pipeline training program, covering all the different lines as they grow, the number of inspection days, the number of investigations for damage prevention. We could use 2 more people on just damage prevention right now. So, I mean, if you're talking about number to be comfortable with, that'd be more of a 6 or 7. I mean, you saw that the cases today, it's just, we would easily use the 3 people full-time and the half management. It's not even a question in my mind.
Okay. Let's see, was there
anything? I certainly wouldn't want to give anything. I mean, if the process of, if we want to open up this kind of discussion, it needs to be the 3 of us sitting back down and in more detail, because we submit our stuff, the governor comes back with his budget, and so be it. Well, then we go from there.
Well, there just isn't that much time, so this was the quickest way we could get together, and I realize this isn't the type of thing we do on admin, but
sure,
with the schedule and time crunch, and they're kind of in the final days of finishing this stuff, so I felt that it was important to throw it out there and make sure that we are all on the same page.
Okay, anything else on that?
Josh, am I forgetting anything?
Well, I would just throw out that I think we do have a meeting scheduled this afternoon. We could expand that to more of a work session.
I think we just got the answer here.
Okay.
So, okay. All righty. So then let's just drop right to scheduling. Highland Crude work session, Highland Crude, Julie Prescott. Refresh my memory again, Julie. Which hearing was this we did?
This is the Highland Crude is the one we just talked about.
Okay. All right. So I got you. So it's the NARUC week. That's up to Randy and Julie, because I'll just try to pencil some time to call from NARUC. How's that sound?
Do we have any of these other things that need to go in that week, too, before we start picking dates out? Or is this the only one that needs to be in that week?
I think that'd be the only one, because the other ones I'd want to be here for in person.
Well, I have a meeting in the early part of the afternoon. Would this need to be a whole day meeting, do you think? Or would this be a couple hours?
I'd schedule it for an hour, but it probably anticipated taking a half hour or so.
Well, let me throw this out. Does sometime in the maybe the later morning on the 18th work out?
It's fine by me.
By later morning, I'd be available probably after 10, between 10:30 and noon. I'm also available the afternoon of the 18th or the 17th all day.
Does 10:30 to noon work for you?
Mm-hmm.
And who all from staff needs to be here? Does anyone have a conflict with that?
Okay. Should we do that?
Number 18th at what time?
10:30.
And then Daryl, just call my cell whenever you guys are, Esther, you guys are ready to dial me in.
That's not during your panel, is it?
No, it's not till Wednesday, the panel.
And just one thing I would note, because the last commission meeting before that 30 days expires is the 20th, we should probably have that on the commission's agenda. If we have to pull it, we can always do that on the day of the commission meeting or move it to a different date.
This would be your portfolio.
So you're saying the notice expires on the 20th?
No, I'm saying the 30 days for the petition for reconsideration is, from a technical perspective, November 28th.
Oh, right. Yeah, expires. So put this, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Sold, Daryl? You got it?
Yeah.
All right. Formal hearing, Caliber Midstreams. Julie Prescott again.
Okay, I have some possible dates. The company would prefer January 5th or the 13th, if those are options.
Well, I think the 13th would be better than the 5th, just because I think that's going to be a pretty busy day, the 5th. But that's just my thoughts for you guys. That's the first day of session, isn't it?
When do you guys get sworn at? Or sworn in?
6th.
Well, sworn at has already occurred, but sworn in.
How about the 13th? Does that work for Randy and Julie? Are we going to Watford City again?
Yes.
Works by me. Well, let's see if it works for Randy and Julie.
It's fine with me.
It works for me.
Should we do that 9 o'clock again so we can... Does that work?
Sure.
9 o'clock?
I'm asking here, getting consent. Sure, 9 o'clock. Okay. At Teddy's Bar and Grill. And where does that always have it at?
Teddy's Residential Suites.
Seems to work well, doesn't it?
It's a nice place.
Okay. All right, that was easy.
We're flying there, too, I'm assuming.
Yeah. The next two, a business ops meeting, quarterly budget update. What I did, Randy and Julie, is usually I just do these with Josh and Steve and Daryl, the crowd, if you will. But since, more than likely, you know, we'll be changing over chairman, then you'll be doing these meetings, Julie. I thought we could do like a transition meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, Randy, you'd certainly be invited. But since there'd be two of us, we need to schedule it as a meeting. Thanks, Mitch. So, Josh and I guess we're just thinking sometime in December to go through all this stuff, to kind of see where we're at with the budget, and we'll just talk about the stuff we normally talk about in business ops, and then you'd carry the torch forward after the first of the year.
How about if we, there's two other things we got to do. We dealt with the Caliber pipeline. Do we have to schedule that?
We just did.
That's the one we just
did? January 13th.
Then there's the petition for reconsideration.
Okay. I don't know why I missed that up there when I wrote that note down.
All we have is a public hearing.
We'll also have to schedule a meeting for our rules.
That's on here.
In December. Yes.
Right.
Proposed hearing for rule.
You want to schedule that one first, Randy?
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
Because that one probably is more pressing time.
Sure.
We have to get it so far out, but not too long.
The soonest would be the 11th of December, but that's assuming that we get everything out to the newspapers this week, and that sometimes takes a little bit.
We've already
of time.
Got a hearing on the 11th with Target.
So it would, if you gave it another week, it would be okay, because if most
we
of those
should
papers,
do it early that next week though, because things just get crazy with Christmas and stuff. So,
but you can do it the end of that week of the 10th to whatever.
Well,
that's booked.
We once scheduled the 15th and 16th as hold dates. That's what's on my calendar. Mm-hmm. But since then, we scheduled that wind farm on the 22nd, and I also have that listed as a hold. Were the 15th and 16th held for that wind farm, and now we don't need them?
I've got them as hold still, too. Let's use one of them.
The answer, I think that's correct, Aunt Randy, what you said, is that we didn't release the holds on those for that wind farm hearing.
So
we could use those.
Yeah, and so either one would work for me.
How about the 16th? Okay. It's going to be right here, right?
Right.
This is for the proposed rules.
Yep.
Public hearing. So we could start at 9 o'clock?
You could, or you could start in like at 1 if people were driving in and out on the same day or something
that's
like
probably
that.
Good.
I don't, whatever you want to do is
or
fine.
Or 11? No.
Yeah, I mean.
How long does it go?
Which one did you take?
The 16th.
What were
we haven't taken any of them yet.
It'll be informal for 1:30.
On?
Oh. On the 16th.
It's not on
informal
our calendars.
Informal for what?
For the Sunflower Project.
Okay, we just did that today, so that's not updated here yet. Okay.
So we can take the 15th off. That we had on the 15th.
All right.
And we can take the rest of the 16th in the morning off, too.
If you know you're here on the 16th, then is that a meeting day, or is that just a special day for informal?
Special for the informal.
Okay. Let's do that the 15th, then.
That's what Julie just said. Let's do that. Let's do the 15th at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
If that works for Annie and Julie for the proposed rules. And then we open it up. Any comments on the rule number, whatever.
Yeah.
If nobody says anything, then we close it and then open up the other one. So Julie can go 20 minutes, or we could be here all day.
Okay.
Yep.
But we don't have to put time.
Well,
we just
won't
start
be
at
20 minutes. We know that.
It was just us.
Well, the industry is going to come.
That pipeline one might just.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be anything
with
that. No,
but we'll have discussion on these rail or these licenses.
But the other one we can probably have done by 5 after.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that. The 1 o'clock on the 15th.
All right. And then
thanks for jumping that one up first.
Well, let's if that works for Julie and Josh, maybe they take that morning, and we could do do the business ops meeting at 9:30, and then the budget meeting at, we'll do them both the same time. Notice them to both, and we can just run one to the other. Do the budget meeting first, and then bring in Steve and Daryl once that's done, and they're welcome to sit in the first.
How about 10? Start at 10 and try to be done by noon?
That's fine. That works for Daryl. That work for you, Josh? Steve-O's not here. December 15th, and we can close the loop on all those.
So you're going to start with the ops meeting or budget meeting first?
Start with the budget meeting first, and then we'll go on to the business ops side. Because if we do the budget meeting first, Josh will have less to say in the business ops meeting. Right? And then, Esther, can you make sure you invite all three of us? And Randy may want to come in or may not.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah.
Try to learn something. What did Jerry say we schedule on the 16th?
An informal on the sunflower wind. That's the one we just did today. And then while I'm pontificating here a little bit, when do we reorganize here? If our last commission meeting is December 17th, and then our first commission meeting is not till the 7th, we'd want, don't we?
We've left it open for possibly doing something in between there, right?
I can't remember, though. Do we reorganize, when we change the chairmanship and reaffirm portfolios, doesn't matter when we do it?
It doesn't matter. You could make it effective. I mean, we've usually waited till the first of the year, but you could make it effective the first of the year.
Why don't we do it, and that's okay with Julie and Randy, just do it at our last meeting in December? Because otherwise, you'd want to be the chair of the first meeting in January. We wouldn't want to have...
It doesn't matter to me. We could do it that meeting, or we can... You know,
it actually would be kind of helpful, because when you do it
at
the meeting where you start right in as chairman, then when you do the portfolios on the agenda and stuff, it's all screwy for staff.
Whatever. However it works best.
You know, yours are moving up to the top and
And
on December 17th, we would work to the reorganization.
Well, I've just throw that out there. I think we might as well do it sooner than later, just because of what Alana said. Otherwise, it turns into be such a goat rope.
Make it effective January 1 and...
Do we, I guess we won't know if we're going to have a special meeting or anything, but let's plan on that the 17th.
But if we make it, if we do it already at that last meeting in December, then the new incoming chairman will be the one responsible for buying Christmas presents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But if we make it effective January 1.
Mounted in the minutes right now.
But if we do it December 17th, then we can move the placards over and then we can do all that. So then you can just start the meeting in January.
That's
very important. And then I go from being the first guy to the last guy. Randy stays over there. It's very talented. Anyway, anything else for the good of the order?
Nope.
Randy?
Nothing.
All right, we'll close the administrative portion of our meeting. And you want to go to work?
Let's.
Let's do it.
See, one question going to Ashley for that hearing. Do you guys want to fly? It's 160 miles. They do have an airport in Ashley.
Can you fly into Ashley?
I think, yeah, isn't that why you had it in the wrong place from the last time? Because it